We were discussing about the Panchatattva. Before we chant Hare Krishna mantra, we should, of course, chant their holy names and pray in general for their mercy. But Sri Damodara Goswami has mentioned in his karcha that they each represent a particular type of shelter, ashraya. Srivast Thakur represents the shelter of Shudanam. So what does that mean? That means that we need the shelter. We need to chant Shudanam. We're aspiring to chant Shudanam, pure holy name. And he is a reservoir of that holy name. Ashraya means a reservoir. A reservoir, a source of, an inspiration for, an impetus for. Because he is Srivast Thakur is the Bhakta avatar. He's Narada Muni. Narada Muni's job is to establish devotion, pure devotion everywhere. He's written about it. He's written Narada Pancharatra. He's preached about it. He's written so many Radha Sahasranam, so many prayers he's recorded. And he's a great avatar of pure bhakti. So pure bhakti begins with Shudanam. Until we chant Shudanam, everything is abhas, bhakti abhas. It's not pure bhakti. It's karma mishra bhakti, gan mishra bhakti, bhakti abhas. It's like a semblance of bhakti. A pure bhakti begins with pure consciousness. A pure bhakti begins with Shudanam. So this is why we pray to the Shudanam Ashraya. Then we discussed about Pancharatrika Vidhi, which includes studying on Bhagavad Vidhi. For us, I think it's part of Pancharatrika Vidhi and Bhagavad Vidhi. They go parallel lines. Puja Archan, the rules are given by Narada Muni. So Advaitacharya, he's the shelter of that. He's the Ashraya of that. And the Ashraya of Bhakti Bhav, the Bhavas, the different levels of Bhava, is Gadahara Pandit. And the Prema Shraya, is Nityananda Prabhu. Then we come to Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and he is the Rasa Shraya. Ras. Rasaraj Mahabhav. He's Rasaraj. He's the king, the emperor of all rasa. Because he's Krishna. Of course, he's Radha and Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Hayanya. He's both Radha and Krishna. But he's, in this regard, in terms of ashraya, he's the ashraya of ras. Rasa Shraya. So ras is the is produced by the combination of different bhavas, the pancha bhavas, the five bhavas combined together to produce something known as ras. Ras is defined as divine rapture, or something astonishing. It creates astonishment within the heart and mind. In other words, it's indescribable. It's an extraordinary happiness and satisfaction, which is, they use this word astonishing. So this is ras, and he is a shelter of this ras, bhakti ras, madhurya ras. So this is where all of our efforts lead us to this point of ras. Ras means divine taste, divine rapture, experience of divinity, bhakti prema. It is an attainment, a state of consciousness, a state of the heart, but it has its expression when prema and bhakti express itself, or prema expresses itself. It expresses itself in an extraordinary phenomenon called taste. It floods the mind and heart with a special type of taste or pleasure. It's called rasa. This is ras. So Mahaprabhu is the rasa shraya. He is the shelter of this ras, rasa raj. Because Krishna himself, he is the vishai. He's the object of all the rasas, all the different devotees in Vatsalya ras, parents, mothers and fathers, in the mood of mother and father of Krishna. In Vatsalya ras, in Madhurya ras, like the gopis, they're in Madhurya ras. And his coward boyfriends like Sridham and Subal, they're in Sakya ras, and experiencing Sakya ras. So he is all that ras is coming from him. He is a rasa sindhu, bhakti rasamrita sindhu. He's the ocean of ras. Therefore, Mahaprabhu is the shelter of all these rasas. And as I mentioned, rasa is a combination of five bhavas. What are those five bhavas? The basis of everything is sthayi bhava. Sthayi bhava is a permanent devotional mood or mellow. And a sthayi bhava needs some stimulant or excitant. In other words, it takes two to tango. It takes a lover and a beloved. It takes an ashray and a vishay. A a subject of love and an object of love, a repository of love and a recipient of love. So this is called Vibhav. Vibhav has two aspects, the Udipan and the Ashray and Vishay. This is Vibhav. This is the second Bhav, Stai Bhav and Vibhav. Vibhav is Udipan, which is an excitant, a stimulant, a sound, a song, some clothing, some, these are the stimulants, the environment, the full moons, full moon, the sound of the flute. These are called the Udipans. And then the Ashraya is the reservoir of love, means the devotee. And the Vishaya is the recipient of the love. So in general, though it changes, but in general, Krishna is the recipient of love. And the devotee is the shelter of the love. We offer our love to him. He receives our love. So in our, from our position, we are the Premashraya. We are the shelter of love. In this regard, we're the Ashraya and he's the Vishaya. But when Krishna loves his devotees, when Krishna expresses his love towards the devotees, where all devotees are expressing their love towards Krishna. Radharani's loving Krishna and serving Krishna, and the coward boys and Mother Yashoda and Nanda, they're expressing their love towards Krishna. So they're the Ashraya. They're the reservoir of love, and he's the recipient of their love. So the recipient is the Vishay, Prem Vishay. When Krishna displays his love or shows his love to his devotees, and he's the Ashraya, he's the Prem Ashraya, and the devotee's the Vishay. So sometimes Radharani is Prem Ashraya, and sometimes he's Prem Vishay. When she's loving Krishna, she's Prem Ashraya. When Krishna's loving her, she's Prem Vishay. It's like this. So this is Vibhav. Staibha Vibhav. And then when this Staibha, the permanent mellow, becomes stimulated by these sights, by these sounds, by the presence of the beloved, then there's some physical expressions of the movements of the heart, and that's called Anubhav. That Bhava are those expressions that follow the Bhav. Anu means following or coming after. Anu. That's called Anubhav. And these are different physical expressions, laughing, crying, etc. And then hiccups, there's so many things that are described there. Moving of the head and this and that. And then there's, that's called Anubhav. And then some of these Anubhavs, they become intensified, and they're called Sattvic Bhavs. Ashta-Sattvic Bhavs, or Sattvic Vikar, transformations. That's tears, intensive tears, incessive tears, crying, or hair standing on end, or trembling, or choking of the voice, or the skin changing color, like when someone's very excited, they become flushed with red, or like this, generally red color. Then finally, if it becomes very intense, and sometimes all eight of these eight bhavs becomes experienced at once, they become inflamed at once. And there's different levels. There's Dumayitya, then there's Dwalita, and then Sudipta. These are three different stages of these Astasattvic bhavs. These are all like technical things, but this is in Rasa Tattva. So these sattvic bhavs. And then there's something called Sanchari. Sanchari means like waves, or Vyavachari. There's 33 Vyavachari bhavs, or transitory emotions. They rise and they fall, like waves rise in the ocean and they fall, they merge. They rise in the ocean and they merge back to the ocean. This is Sanchari, waves. And these are despondency and despair and lamentation. These are all different features of love. So you have Stai Bhav, you have Vibhav, Anubhav, Sattvic Bhav, Vyavachari Bhav. These are five bhavas, and these all mixed together. When these mixed together, they produce something called ras. And this, sometimes the analogy is used, it's called shikarini. Shikarini is a drink. It's a drink that's made, it's something like, well, you have chaj or something, but you have sharbets, but it's shikarini. Like we have shrikhan. A shikarini is a mixture. You take yogurt, and then you mix some black pepper, and then you mix some sugar, you mix some rose water, you mix some camphor, and it's like five different substances. The basis is yogurt, so the basis is Stai Bhav, and you mix these other spices and sweeteners and swirl them all together, and you get this drink called Shikarini. It's really tasty, and I'm sure you'd really like to have some right about now.
So other another one, Shri Maharaj.
It's very cooling, and it's very refreshing, and it's very healthy. And you can't have any. Just, you can do Manasi Seva, and you can offer 2 liters to Radharani and Krishna, and make sure they keep cool. If you're meditating on their happiness and keeping them cool, then automatically you'll be cool. That's the whole idea of bhakti. To think of the pleasure of Krishna, and your pleasure is guaranteed. Think of Krishna's coolness, and your coolness is guaranteed. That's like this. So this is Ras. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Rasa Shraya. He's a shelter of all the rasas. He's a reservoir of all the rasas. So we want to taste this Ras, this Bhakti Ras, and he's a Bhakti avatar. He's come to distribute Bhakti and to teach Braj Bhakti all around the world to everyone. Pratipati Achira, Nagaradigram. He wants every town and village to recite Krishna Nam and experience Nam Ras and Bhakti Ras and ultimately Prem Ras. So therefore we pray to Mahaprabhu, you're the Rasa Shraya. So please fill me with Ras, fill me with Bhakti Ras. May I experience Ras in the holy name. Because now we're praying to this Panchatattva in relation to Nam Japa. These are part of the prayers that we recite and meditate on before we begin Nam Japa. Because everything depends on mercy coming from above. And these are the 5 repositories of mercy, the Panchatattva. They're the 5 friends of the devotee. So how can you chant this pure name without their mercy? So Srivas Thakur and Advaitacharya, Gadadhar, Nityananda and Mahaprabhu, they are there and they're serving this capacity. So Swarup Damodar Goswami has revealed this, and we should take advantage of it. Because a teacher's instructions are only valuable if they're applied. If you only listen and don't apply, then they don't get much value. If someone tells you, actually, if you invest right now in gold, you'll make a lot of profit. So if someone gives you a good financial tip, and then you don't do it, and then and 5 years later they say, so how are your profits? Did you make a big profit? Oh, when you told me to invest, I didn't invest. You stupid. You know, then gold was 10 rupees a kilo. Now it's 5,000 rupees a kilo. So the investor, the financier, he may give you good advice. But if you don't follow it, they say words to the wise is sufficient. Something like that. Or words to the wise is sufficient. Something like that. So these sort of dhammas giving us a very important instruction to improve our nam, our chanting of nam. So this is one idea. I want to read something from Adi Leela, chapter 17, verse 244 and 245. This is maybe not so directly related to the glories of Krishna's nam and qualities, but sometimes people do like this, and I want everyone to understand our viewpoint. Our viewpoint is based on Guru and Shastra and our personal desire also. So now, if you hear this, then you'll understand something about our viewpoint. Adi 17, 244 and 245. Charanera duli se laya varavar dekhiya prabhura dukkha haila apar. Sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu engaged in drama. In one particular drama they performed in the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya, he lived next door. He acted as the father. After Vishwarup left, I believe it was after Vishwarup left this world, and then Jagannath Mishra was feeling great separation, almost like Dasarath and Ramchandra. When Ramchandra was banished to the forest, I think you know the story, Dasarath gave up his life. So Vishwarup was the elder brother of Vishwambar, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Vishwarup left with one sannyasi and went traveling to take sannyas. So Jagannath Mishra, his father, felt intense pangs of separation. So he couldn't bear to live without his son, so he gave up his life in the absence of his son. So then the next door neighbor, who was a great Pandit Acharya, Chandrasekhar Acharya, was a contemporary of Jagannath Mishra and a fast friend of his. He became the foster father of Nimai Pandit. Nimai was practically brought up by him in terms of looking after his welfare and taking care of him. So he had Shachimata on one side and Chandrasekhar on the other side, and they were next-door neighbors. So oftentimes Chandrasekhar would organize dramas like Radhana Swami does in Chopati Beach. Has these beautiful dramas, which you'll see if you haven't seen already. So Mahaprabhu himself, he took part in one of those dramas, and he played the part of Rukmini. Kabu Durga Lakshmi Hai, Kabu Vachik Shakti, Katteva Sivaktavani, Nila Prema Bhakti. Mahaprabhu sometimes played the part of Durga. Or sometimes he played the part of Lakshmi, or the part of Yogamaya. So it seemed that Nimai Pandit was very fond of playing female parts. Sitting on a cot, kate, it's interesting, K-H-A, long A-T-E, kate, means cot. Sitting on some type of makeshift bed, called a cot, he delivered love of Godhead to all the devotees present. Ek din Mahaprabhur nityavasan, eka brahmani asi, darila charan. One day Mahaprabhu had finished his dancing, in one of these plays, right? Igdin Nritya Avasane. The wife of a Brahmin came there and caught hold of his feet. Darila Charani. Darila means held on. Charanera Duli Se Laya Varavar Dekiya Prabhura Duka Haila Apar Dekiya Prabhura Duka Apar. You can figure out what that means? Apar. Apar means transcendental or unlimited. As that Brahman, he took the dust from Mahaprabhu's feet, Barabhar, again and again, the Lord became unlimitedly unhappy. Purport. This holding of a great personality's lotus feet is certainly very good for the person who takes the dust from the feet. But this example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's unhappiness indicates that a Vaishnava should not allow anyone to take the dust from his feet. So, although we cannot proclaim at any time or stage that we are a Vaishnava, we can say we are a Vaishnava Praya, that we are almost a Vaishnava. But this is our Guru Maharaj speaking in relation, his tika in relation to this purport. Mahaprabhu is God. Mahaprabhu is playing the part of a bhakta. He's a bhakta avatar, and he's Bhagavan and bhakta. Sometimes he's Bhagavan Krishna, sometimes he's Bhagavan is Radharani, Shakti Mayi, and sometimes he's a bhakta. All these three roles he plays in his lila. And he's teaching different things in different roles. So in this role, he's playing the role of a devotee. He's very unhappy when some Brahmani took the dust of his feet. He's also a Brahmin. She's a Brahmani. But at this point, in Adi Lila, he's not a sannyasi yet. So he's a Brahmin, a Grihastha Brahmin of Navadvip, a famous pandit. The Prabhupada is saying, the unhappiness of Lord Chaitanya, this indicates, which means, this means. What does this mean? What does it mean?
It means that Lord Chaitanya was not happy.
No, that he's not happy, but what does it mean to us? It's called Adiyatmik Vichar. What does it mean to us?
It means to us that a Vaishnava should not allow anybody to take the dust off his feet.
That's exactly correct. One who takes the dust of a great personality's lotus feet transfers his sinful activities to that great personality. That means his papa karma. Unless the person whose dust is taken, that means the Vaishnava, is very strong. Very strong means bhakti prabhav. He has lots of bhakti shakti. That Vaishnava must suffer the sinful reactions of the person who takes the dust. Therefore, ordinarily, it should not be allowed. Who's speaking here?
Srila Prabhupada.
Who is he? He's a founder acharya of International Society. Who is he in relation to me? In my dictionary. And who did he write these books for? Not you, me. As he said, I'm writing these books for my disciples. And everyone for the next 10,000 years. But he said this thing. These books are for my disciples. You must read them. So these books are his shiksha. Shiksha, he's sadhu and he's guru and this is his shiksha. These are his teachings. So if one doesn't follow them, then he's called sadhu ninda. Guru avagya sadhu ninda. What offense is that to the holy name? Blasting of Vaishnavas, that's the first offense. Then what's the third offense? So you're doing sadhu ninda and guru avagya. Right? Disobey the Lord's spiritual master. So it's very good for you to grab hold of my feet. That's very bad for me. It's only good for you because you download all your sins on my hard drive. But I only have 100 megabytes and you have 200 megabytes or whatever. You have 200 gigabytes of sins and I only have 100 gigabytes of free space. So we're going to have a problem with your extra gigabytes. So it's very good for you and very bad for me. In many ways, bad because I get your bad karma, and bad because I'm violating the order of my guru. So sadhu, there's different sadhus, and some sadhus let 50 million people touch their feet. Fine. I'm not some sadhu. I am a disciple of my guru. And that's my only claim. Other than that, I am nothing. I am zero. If I'm not following my guru, then I'm zero. Disciple means obedient to guru. Otherwise you're not disciple, you're in zero. Oh, but this guru does like this, and that guru does like that, and this saint does like that. Very good, then go there. Go there, go to hard war, go to any war, go to war and download your karma. But hands off. Get back, jump back. Sometimes in big meetings, like these big Pandal programs in India, people come to take the same advantage by touching our feet, Prabhupada's saying. On account of this, sometimes we have to suffer from some disease. We means Srila Prabhupada. He's writing. We means the author. He goes to a Pandal program, the LIC grounds in Delhi, 1972. 25,000 people. So many people ran to touch Prabhupada's feet. Because that's the tradition in India. Touch the sadhu's feet, download your karma. As far as possible, no outsider should be allowed to touch one's feet to take dust from them. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally showed this by his example as explained in the next verse. So outsider. Now, this is in Navadvip. This is in Nadia. This is in Mayapur Dham. This is in the holy Dham. And this is not an ordinary person. This is not some lecher. This is not some Punjabi or American or any person like that. This is a Dham Vasi. Mayapur Vasi. And is this a Shudra touching his feet? Who's touching his feet? A Brahmani. Topmost, a Brahmani. A pundit's wife. And those days there weren't like, you know, discos and all that. She's following the four regular principles. She's pure. She's a Brahmani. She's a Dham Vasi. She's Brij Vasi. Better than Brijvasi, she's not Mayapur Vasi. And she's living at the time of God, and she's touching God's feet. You follow? You're not touching some guru from a Kali Yuga. You see the analyze this situation, this pastime. Touching God's feet, she's a Dham Vasi, she's a Brahmani. And the Mahaprabhu is afraid of her sins. What sins? What sins she has? Dham Vasi? Take birth in India, it's very rare. To take birth in a Dham is a million times rare. Take birth as a human being is very rare, Sudurlabh. Take birth as a Sudra, take birth as a Brahmin, a Pandit Brahmin's wife, very, very rare. Such a rare birth, such a high birth, such a pure birth, so pure, what karma. And Mahaprabhu's feeling apara dukkha. Apara means transcendental. Apara means unlimited. Unlimited, not just dukkha, apara dukkha, unlimitedly unhappy, very, very, very unhappy. And he's teaching an example of what a bhakta should feel like. He is the ideal bhakta. He's serving the devotees with great humility. And then he's teaching, everything he's doing is perfect. He's a perfect bhakta, and he's showing how to be a perfect bhakta. So here he's also showing in this teaching about the footsie program. Now, don't play footsies. And then this Prabhupada is saying, Mahaprabhu is considering this person as an outsider. I'm a Dhanvasi, you're a Dhanvasi. I'm a Brahmin, you're a Brahmin. But you're an outsider. But like in Bridge, like if you're in Vrindavan, someone says, where are you born? I'm born in Chata. Oh, you're a Brijvasi. Oh. You know, you're not an outsider. If you're a Brijvasi, you're a Brijvasi. You're a Dhanvasi, you're a Dhanvasi. But he's saying outsider. As far as possible, no outsider should be allowed to touch. Now, next verse. Se shane dhana prabhu gangate padila nityananda haridasa dhari utaila. Immediately, Mahaprabhu ran to the Ganga and jumped in to counteract the sinful activities of that woman. Lord Nityananda and Haridas caught him and raised him from the river because he's going to drown himself. He said, oh my God, this Brahmani Dhamvasi has touched my feet. I should die. I should commit suicide. The sinful reactions are so heavy, I can't bear it. I can't tolerate it. I can't carry the weight. Better I die. If you read the books, then your behavior will follow suit. But if you don't read the books, you act like a fool. How can you know how to behave without knowledge? Without knowledge, there's no proper action. Can you act as a dentist without knowledge of dentistry? So how do you act as a bhakti without knowledge of bhakti? Bhakti gyan, sambandha gyan. First sambandha, first knowledge, then behavior. What is behavior? Behavior means abhideya. That's why we don't say chant, be a devotee. You say, hey, read. I say read, get knowledge, get sambandha gyan, then act. But usually they say act and forget about knowledge. Kandamangarati, Chanari Krishna, do services, do all this that. But you don't know anything about service, you don't know anything about Vaishnavas, you don't think about Krishna, anything, any tattvas. So you make so many faux pas and mistakes and goof ups and aparas. You're serving, oh yeah, come into the temple and serve, you knock this guy out, knock that guy out. You don't know anything about anything. So the first thing is knowledge. Any field, first learn the knowledge, the tattva, then the action. First knowledge, sambandha gyan. Then action. First knowledge, then behavior. Without knowledge, there can't be any behavior. And abhideya is behavior. Devotional activities are behavior. But without sambandha gyan, you can't behave properly. So you come from Indian tradition, oh, any sadhu grab his feet. But Lord Chaitanya is giving very powerful instructions. He wanted to commit a Brahmani Dhamvasi lady touched his feet and he wanted to commit suicide. He jumped in the Ganga to give up his life with his clothes on because he didn't want to carry the sinful reactions of a Brahmani Dhamvasi who's following the four principles her whole life. Never ate onions, garlic, this, that, anything. This is the teaching in Adi Lila, chapter 17, verse 244 and 245. And Prabhupada is amplifying it. As far as possible, no outsider should be allowed to touch one's feet to take the dust from them. Now you can imagine, this lady's a Dhanvasi, she's a Brahmani, she's a neighbor, she lives in Mayapur, this is happening in Mayapur, she's living during the time of God's Leela. This is not just touching some guru or sadhu. She has the good fortune of being living, she's alive, and seeing, she's touching the feet of God. Such adhikar, such a sudurlabh jiva, yet she's considered to be sinful. What sin she has, hard to imagine. Now we think of us, how much sin we have to be born in this age in Kali Yuga, and what kind of body, and what kind of karma, what kind of varna, far away from the holy Dham, far away from the Brahminical situation, you know, varna. And we just run and grab some sadhu's feet and think, oh, this is very cool. I'm showing my humility. You're showing your ignoramity or whatever it is, showing your foolishness, your ignorance, and your offensiveness. So because if I was just to say something and someone would say, oh, Maharaj is like this and like that, I'm speaking only on the strength of the Leela and Shastra Vichara, Leela Vichara of Gauranga, and the teachings of Guru Maharaj. So he ran there to commit suicide. Otherwise, why did Haridas Thakur and Nityananda jump in the Ganga to pull him out of the water? Why? Because he was drowning. He said, oh, forget it. They went to save him. It's a good thing they saved him. They caught him and raised him from the river. That means raised from the river. What does that mean? It means you're under the water. You understand? He's under the water. Brahmani, Dhamva. Oh, what a terrible sin. A Brahmani. Brahmani means she has diksha. Because a Brahmani gets diksha. She either has diksha from her husband, but before she gets married, she has to have diksha. So she has diksha. So you can't say she's a bhakta. Like we're a bhakta, we have no diksha. She's a Brahmani. She has Vaishnav diksha. She's a Dhamvasi and a Parishad of the Lord, living at the time of the Lord's advent. And she touched the feet, and he's thinking, oh my God, what a terrible sin I've suffered from. Apara Duki. I'm unlimitedly unhappy. Let me give up my life. And we're thinking, let me just grab this sannyasi or guru or anybody's feet. And then maybe we're having a period when we do it. Some ladies don't know any kind of etiquette, and they just grab somebody's feet. Because they never read the Nectar Devotion. Nectar Devotion says, one of the offenses, it says, one should not touch a woman in her period. It's right in Nectar Devotion. It's an offense in bhakti, one of the limbs of bhakti. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, because you never read Nectar Devotion. One should not touch a woman when she's having her period. The husband of... I mean, she shouldn't touch anyone. No one should touch her. It's aparad. I didn't know that. Well, because you never read Nectar Devotion. It's the second book that was ever published in ISKCON. It was only written 40 years ago. So therefore, read, and read again. And again. And take notes. And then act on what you've read. So you can imagine, just for that, Lord Chaitanya is ready to end his leela. Can you imagine? A Brahmani, a Vaishnav Brahmani who has Diksha, Dhamvasi, a Parishad, living at the time Lord Chaitanya, touches his feet, and he says, okay, that's it, my leela is over, I'm giving up my body. Now that's intense. So this is the kind of intensity how we should read Shastra and meditate. It's called manana. Manana means deeply meditating over the teachings. How does it mean? It means this to me and it means this to him. Adiyatmika vichara, this is what it means to me. Adibhotika, this is what's being stated. And Adidaivika, this is what's being understood from his level, the Daivik, spiritual level. These three considerations, the minimum three of every verse. Now purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God himself, but he was playing the part of a devotee, of a preacher. Every preacher should know that being allowed to touch a Vaishnava's feet and dust and take the dust may be good for the person who takes it, but it is not good for the person who allows it to be taken. So Prabhupada is saying every preacher should know. Who is that? Who is every preacher?
His disciples.
Means everybody in ISKCON, because ISKCON is a preaching movement. Every woman, every man, everybody is a preacher. And obviously his disciples is also there. As far as possible, this practice should ordinarily be avoided. Only initiated disciples should be allowed to take this advantage, not others. Those who are full of sinful activity should generally be avoided. So, these instructions I know very well, and on the basis of these instructions, I allow those devotees that have surrendered to us and taken diksha from us, I allow them to touch our feet, following the instructions of my guru. And anyone else is considered an outsider. Because we're on the outside until we Guru Parashraya. Guru Parashraya means diksha. It says Guru Parashraya, diksha, shikshari. Diksha Adi Shikshanam. So then there's the first limb of devotion. There are 64 limbs of devotion. The first limb is called Guru Parashraya. Take shelter of the Guru. The second one is Diksha. And then Shiksha. And the third one is Seva. And the fourth one is Sadavarvana Vartante. Follow the footsteps of the sadhus, Mahajanacharyas. So everyone, a word to the wise is sufficient. That was the phrase I was trying to remember. A word to the wise is sufficient. So this is the words from Lord Chaitanya and from our Guru. So everyone should follow accordingly from now on and act properly on the basis of Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu, not whimsy or tradition or feelings. Oh, I feel like this. The real, like someone says, oh, I feel very dedicated, I feel very submissive to Guru, then follow the teachings. Follow the instructions. Get up every day at 4 o'clock and chant japa from 4 to 7. When you start that, then you can understand, I'm taking shelter of Guru. This is it's simple. It's not complicated. Taking shelter of Guru means following instructions, right? Oh, I can't. Anyway, so many things you can, but, can't. That's fine. That means there's no ashraya. There's no surrender. Surrender means giving up. Giving up your sleep, giving up your job, giving up your family. We'll get whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to follow the order of the Guru. Prabhupada defined austerity. You know what really tapasya means? Not fasting, not staying up all night, anything. Prabhupada defined austerity as this. It's a beautiful definition. Austerity is a difficulty and trouble that a disciple takes to carry out the order of the spiritual master. That is tapasya. It's easy to fast. That's only one day. It's hard to get up every single day at 4 a.m., whether you're sick or have pneumonia or this or that, and go to Mangalarti or whatever his instruction is. The difficulty, what is it? Austerity means the hardship and difficulty that you undertake to fulfill and carry out the order of the spiritual master. That is real austerity. His Prabhupada never talked about staying up all night, eating one chickpea a day, and Chaturmasya eating five chickpeas every other day, and he never talked about any of these things. He talked about Guru Seva, chant the holy names, study the books, preach, realize Krishna, serve Krishna, love Krishna. I mean, the question is, what should we do if someone, Vaishnava touches our feet? But generally, this also is there in the Vaishnava Samaj. We've seen so much of this. When Vaishnavas meet each other after being separated for some time, in different countries or temples or whatever, and they're old friends, they come together, they try to touch each other's feet. And you even see sometimes that Nityananda is trying to touch Lord Chaitanya's feet and Advaita. But these are not outsiders. These are Antaranga Bhaktas. These are all Antaranga Bhaktas. So you have to read closely the story. He said outsiders. This Brahmani was not considered an Antaranga Bhakta, although she was a Dhanvasi and a Brahmani. He's a Brahmin, she's a Brahmin, he's a Dhanvasi. But there were so many like that. There were so many Pandit Brahmins living in Navadvipa, Smarta Brahmins and Shaktas, etc. And they were all Dhanvasis and they're all Brahmins, but there only 200 were allowed inside Shiva Sangam, as you know, for the evening kirtans. And the other 20,000 were outside the door. The other 20,000 were not Antaranga Bhaktas. They were not internal devotees, intimate devotees. So they couldn't touch. They weren't allowed. So she was in that category. So now, but the Antaranga Bhaktas inside Shiva Sangam, they were trying to touch each other's feet, and sometimes they did. Sometimes, you read, sometimes Chaitanya took the dust from Nittai's feet, sometimes Nittai from Advaita. So they're touching, but they're not outsiders. So if some god brother is trying to touch your feet, it is not an offense, and we don't mind. Right? Because they don't have any karma. An initiated devotee doesn't have any karma. So if some initiated devotee wants to touch your feet, or you're touching their feet, it's all sport. It's all fun. But still, you try to. I don't know if you've ever seen, but you always run. They try to touch, and you run here, and he runs there, and then you pay obeisance, and then he reaches behind your feet, behind you, and touches your feet. Hey, you rascal! And then you start wrestling, and you touch his feet. But it's all the same adhikar. You're all initiated. You're all Brahmins. You're all friends. You're not outsiders to each other. So just as a guru, he has his antaranga. He has his insider. Insiders are those who've given their heart to the guru. And that's proven by seva. By seva and by surrender. Tavadi pranipatena parivashneva sevaya. Vidakshanti tegyanam ganayastapadarshana. There's submission. Pranipatena. No submission?
No permission.
Right. No submission, no permission. No permission, no admission. So if you submit, then you get permission to touch the feet. Then you're admitted. So that guru will allow. Because he knows. If he allows, then that's great fortune. Or some, as I said, some sadhu, some person lets you touch his feet, then by all means touch their feet. Like these Brahmins. These Brahmins that 50 million people touch their fondest feet a day. So either they're very, very pure, or they get sick all the time, or I don't know what the situation is, but I certainly take advantage of it. Many come here, they come here, collect donations, and I definitely touch their feet. Put my head on their feet. Krishna would touch the feet of Narada. When Narada came to Dwarka, he would bathe his feet. and sprinkle the water on Rukmini's head and Satyabhama's head and his head and touch his feet. This is the etiquette. Brahman should be worshipped. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha Chikatitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namo. It's like you see in a family, in Indian, traditional Indian families, the children, when they would come down in the morning, they would pay obeisances to their mother and father and touch their feet. Every day. So they're insiders. They're family members. So it's an exchange, shows showing of gratitude and appreciation and respect. This is a... You know, a guru, you can say the... because this is a special mercy. A guru allows the disciples to touch the feet. Right? And in Western devotees, we were always raised... I mean, your time also, apparently. In our group with Prabhupada, we were always feeling, oh, our Guru Maharaj is so pure, and we knew this principle that we'll give him our sins and he may get sick, because we read his books and we also heard that. So we would, the last thing we ever thought in our mind was, well, we don't want to cause our Guru any difficulty. That's the last thing we'd ever want to do, to make our Guru sick. Because we also heard that, even before we read this, we heard that if you touch, everyone, we heard that if you touch a saintly person's feet, you'll give him his karma. And he has to take that, and he may get sick. He can get some headache and get some sickness. So, oh, Prabhupada's old already. In 75, when I met Prabhupada, or 74, I first saw him. Even by 75, he was already 80 years old. And he wasn't so super healthy, that's for sure. So I would never think to touch, although I wanted to. Of course, he liked to touch the Guru's feet. But we didn't. Even I remember one time, I told a few times already, but I like to tell it anyway, again, because it makes you feel happy. The Prabhupada came to Los Angeles, and he came in the front door, and all the devotees bowed down, and I bowed down. And then when I was thinking, oh, I really like to touch Prabhupada's feet. Maybe if he walks by my head, I can touch his feet. So everyone's bowing down, and Om Vishnu Padaye Krishna. And I did that real fast. Because I knew it only had a few seconds. He was coming in the door. I was right near the door. He'd be walking by my feet because he walked so fast. I didn't have much time. I had to act fast. So then I just went and I looked out. Oh, there's his feet. And I saw his feet. And I remember distinctly his beautiful golden feet, because he had this very bright golden body in Bengali, and his skin tone was like whitish gold. It was really brilliant, really effulgent. Not dark type. It was very light, like copper or copper gold or something. Like copper gold. And then there's golden feet, and there was a distinct line, almost as if he had lacti on his feet or alta. There was a distinct line, demarcation, separating the top of his feet and the bottom of his feet. And the redness of the bottom of his feet came up a little bit to the side. On the bottom, and just as if a lady would paint red on her feet, a red line. She doesn't just paint the flat. It's not just here. It goes up a little bit on the side. You know, it goes up a little bit here, usually. It's not just here, like footprints. Otherwise, no one could see it. It always comes up a little bit around the back of the ankle. So you could see a red line, very brilliant, like arun, like pink, pinkish red line, very distinct against the copper gold. It looks so beautiful. I looked up and I saw those feet. I said, oh, wow, so beautiful, so attractive. I want to touch his feet. And then it's like, you know, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. This mental war was going on inside. Yes, you should touch it. It's good, you know, you should touch the feet of your guru, get his blessings, you get his mercy. But no, you'll give his sins to him. You're so sinful, you're a demon. You know, you shouldn't contaminate it. No, he might get angry. And, you know, and what if he gets angry? He hits you with his cane or something. Don't. Oh, that's blessings also. You know, this whole thing is going on. Yes, no, but you only have 1 second. So all that yes, no has to go on like in a half a second. So somehow it was no. It came no, and then... he was already gone. And then it was after that, it was just lamentation.
But it's good for us if we touch like that. You don't touch the feet, but you wait, like you said in the class, when you wait, the sadhu goes, and then you just...
Take the dust. Yeah, that's very good.
Because then you don't give them the karma, but you get the...
Yeah, you get... It's Bhakta Pada Duli, Bhakta Pada Jal, Bhakta Chishtatin Mahabal. That verse is there. We can read it. Because the following verse is also very nice, and which I don't recall. But it's all about that. And it's all recommended and advised. What we're hearing, this is not recommended. It's not recommended by Lord Chaitanya or followers in the Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Because Lord Chaitanya, he's the Acharya for all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And he didn't do it. He didn't like people to take the dust of his feet. And we're his followers and his students, so we shouldn't do it either. And that's basically what Prabhupada's saying. And most of these people are so free with their dust are not Gaudiya Vaishnavas. You know, they're Mayavadis or whoever they are. These sadhus and other acharyas, they're not Gaudiyas, they're not Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they're just sadhu and this and that. So, but the same book which is telling us about Lord Chaitanya forbidding anyone to touch his feet and rather ready to give up his life because some Brahmin touched his feet, the same book is telling us, don't touch the feet, but do take the dust. Do drink the water from the feet. So in other words, it's imperative to have indirect connection with those feet. Drink the water from those feet. Take dust from those feet. And another indirect thing is get the remnants. It's, you know, don't kiss the sadhu. But so that's direct contact with his mouth. But take his remnants, his uchishta, that which comes from his mouth, uchishta, uchishta, that which comes from his mouth, that take that. So it's very good, it's imperative, it's encouraged that we have indirect connection with the sadhu by his feet, and two ways with his feet. So that this book is telling us. This verse is mentioned in Antya Lila, chapter 16, verse 60. Antya Lila 16, 59, 60, and 61, and 62. There's a few verses in succession. This chapter is about the Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tastes nectar from the lips of Lord Sri Krishna. This, of course, is Antya Lila, Gambhira Lila. It's a very deep and confidential Lila of Lord Chaitanya, where Krishna is deeply in the mode of Radharani, relishing Radhabhav, Mahabhav, and having direct sportis of Krishna moment by moment, and taking Mahaprasad of Jagannath, Rajendra Nandan Shamsundar, and experiencing the loving embrace and kisses of Krishna just by taking the Mahaprasad from Jagannath. And only Radharani can understand all this. So Krishna is understanding what Radharani experiences when she takes his Mahaprasadam, which she does every day in Yavara or Varsana. The remnants of Krishna's Mahaprasad are mixed in the food that was cooked by the Sakis. And she mixes those, the Dinishya Sakhi mixes those remnants of Krishna in her food and she takes it. So she takes the Krishna Fela. Krishna Fela means the saliva of Krishna, which is imbued with all his rasa, Rasaraj Sri Krishna, and all his prema for her. Radharas, Sudanidhi. The nectar of Radharas is in Krishna's lips, in Krishna's food remnants. So Radharani tastes that when she takes Krishna's remnants. Now Krishna is thinking, what does Radharani experience when she tastes my remnants? So that's why he became Mahaprabhu. Because Krishna wants to understand Radharani's love and what happiness she experiences. What is the happiness she experiences by serving me and by loving me? So now Krishna is experiencing what Radharani experiences when Radharani takes Krishna's remnants. How? By taking the remnants of Jagannath, by eating Jagannath Mahaprasadam, which Jagannath is Prajendra Nandan Shamsundar Krishna, Purushottam. So when Mahaprabhu or Radharani is tasting that, then she's experiencing the nectar of Krishna's lips. It's called the Adara Amrit. Adara. Adara means lips. Adara. Adara. And Amrit means nectar. So this is from the Adi Daivik consideration. But the Adi Atmic consideration, from our level, how we relate to it, that's given here. Krishna's Kaviraj brings it down to our level. But the whole chapter is really rasic and really all about Radharani and Krishna experiencing Radharani's ecstasy and tasting Krishna's lips, which is extremely intimate, confidential aspects of Madhurya Leela and Mahabhav. But nevertheless, it has some application to us as sadhakas on a level of Adi Atmika Vichara. Vaishnavara Shesha Bhakshanera Eteka Mahima Kalidase Pao Yaila Prabhura Kripa Simha taking the remnants of Vaishnavas is so valuable. Shesha Bhakshanera Eteka Mahima. That it induced Mahaprabhu to offer Kalidas his supreme mercy. That's described later. The Kalidas would take the remnants of every single Vaishnava in Bengal. Every single one. High, low, medium, fat, thin, short, tall, anyone. Everyone, everything. Kripa Simha, the limits of mercy. So Mahaprabhu, Prabhu Kripa Simha, he showed the supreme, the limit of all mercy, the Simha. Simha. The limit of mercy was shown to Kalidas just by doing that, by being a nectar hound, prasadam hound, just because he was mad after eating everyone's remnants. Well, this is all about prasadam, which is a really important thing to talk about right about now. I often find that on Nirjala Ekadasi, we often talk about prasadam, nectar drinks, chapan bhog. Maybe some part of us is thinking of that. It's called a Freudian slip. Either we're thinking like that, or the Vaishnava Samaj is thinking like that, and forcing these type of topics to be. So, now, Krishna's Kaviraj is going to give us a very, very important instruction. Now, try not to fall asleep for this one. Tate Vaishnavera Juta Kao Chari Grinalaj Jaho Haite Paibanija Vanchita Sabakaj. Therefore, giving up hatred and hesitation. Chari Grina Lodge. Grina Lodge. Lodge means shyness, hesitation. Giving up hesitation or shyness and hatred. Give up hatred and hesitation. Try to eat the remnants of the food of the Vaishnavas. So what did I just say? Anyone is bold enough to try to tell me? No, I didn't say anything about that. Anyone want to tell me what I just said?
Give up hatred and hesitation.
Yes.
And take the
Vaishnavas. Thank you. I'm glad to hear someone's listening. Giving up hatred and hesitation, Grina and Lodge, try to eat the remnants, Juta. You know, Juta means the dirt. Like, what do you call shoes? What do you call shoes?
Juta.
How do you spell that?
In English, it'd be J-U-T-A.
No H. Okay, this is J-H.
Juta.
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 But there's some similarity. Because shoes are dirty, no? And food coming out of the mouth is generally dirty. If I eat some food, it's also contaminated. But if it's a Vaishnava, then it's Vaishnava Juta. Juta. Kao. Kao. Sayan Amrita Kao. Give up hatred and hesitation. Try to eat the remnants of the food of the Vaishnavas, for you will thus be able to achieve your desired goal of life. Payeba Nija Vanchita Sabha Kaj. Sab Kaj. Kaj means success. Kaj. Nija Vanchita. Your Vancha. Your desire will be fulfilled. Krishnero Chishtahaya Mahaprasad Nam Bhakti Sheshahaila Maha Maha Prasadakyan. The remnants of food offered to Krishna are called Mahaprasad. After this same Mahaprasad has been taken by a devotee, Bhakta Shesh, at the end of Bhakta, the remnants are elevated to Maha Mahaprasad. Haribo. Maha Mahaprasad ki. Now, the verse you've all been waiting for. Are you ready? Bhakta Paraduli Arabhakta Parajal Bhakta Bhukta Avashesha Teen Mahabal. Please repeat. Bhakta Paraduli. No, you please repeat. Bhakta Paraduli.
Bhakta Paraduli.
Ara Bhakta Parajal.
Ara Bhakta Parajal.
Bhakta Bhukta Avashesha.
Bhakta Bhukta Avashesha.
Teen Mahabal.
Teen Mahabal.
What does Mahabal mean?
Most important.
Bala means power, strength. Maha means what? Big, great. The dust of the feet of a devotee. What's that mean, Bengali? Only Padaduli? Bhakta Padaduli. The water that has washed the feet of a devotee. What is that? We're talking about Bengali, my friend. Bhakta Pad. What does Pad mean?
Feet.
What does Jal mean?
Water.
You sure? Bhakta Pada Jal. Then, Bhakta Bhukta. What does Bhukta mean? Means Bhukti. What does Bhukti mean? Means, what does Bhog mean? Bhog means enjoyment. Bhog, you know Bhog? Bhogi? What's this thing? Oh. I wonder what this thing was. I kept kicking this thing around.
You thought it was a nun.
I don't know what it was. So Bhukta, Bhakta Bhukta Avashesh. Avashesh means the end of his bhog. Bhakta Bhog. After he enjoys, that's Bhukta. Bhukta means bhog. Bhukta. Bhukta. So it means the remnants of food eaten by a devotee. Teen Mahabal. These are three very powerful substances. So you say, okay, you're saying it's powerful. What? So something is powerful. What power? Power to do what? You say it's powerful, but what does it mean, powerful? What does it do? Well, now we have to find out. Aitina seva haite, Krishna prema hai, puna puna sarva shastre, fukariya kai. By rendering service to these three, one attains the supreme goal of ecstatic love for Krishna. Haite. 18 seva, you serve. Serve means that you take, you honor. You honor the water, you put on your head, you drink, you honor the food, the dust. Krishna premahai, puna puna sarva shastri fukodiyakai. All the shastras, puna puna, barbar, again and again, all the shastras, fukodiyakai, declare loudly. In all the revealed scriptures, this is loudly declared again and again. So here we find that we get so much benefit by having connection with the feet of a devotee. What kind of connection? Water connection, dust connection. But sparsha connection, you go to hell. Because if you make a devotee unhappy, then you go to hell. Yasya prasada, Bhagavat prasado. Yasya prasada, nagati katopi. Vishnu Chakravarti says that if you make a devotee happy, then you get the mercy of God. So if this is true, then the converse is also true. If you make a devotee unhappy, you go to hell. Where else can you go? So we should try to make devotees happy. Try to make Krishna happy. Not try to make ourselves happy. I'll be happy if I touch your feet, because I'll get rid of my sins. But will you be happy? No. So, but feet are not denied, but take the dust. Take the water. So the Gaudiya conception is slightly different from the rest of India, you see? Everywhere in India, all Smartas, Mayavadis, even Vaishnavas, other Vaishnava Sampradayas, they have the idea of touching the feet. And they do it with a passion. It's a tradition, it's a history. Your grandfather did it, your mother did it, she trained you up, you did it. Then you come to Vaishnava Sampradaya, hey, watch it, hey, don't touch me. Hey, what's with this? No, and because everything in Gaudiya Vaishnavism and everything with Krishna is called Parokshavad. Everything is indirect. He likes indirect glorification. When the sages and munis indirectly glorify him, he likes it much more than direct glorification. Like when they say, oh, there's this boy that's blue like a rain cloud and mischievous like Balak Chalak and all kinds of, and they don't know, they're just speaking all indirect ways. But it's all about Krishna. When Krishna hears such indirect glorification, he's very, very happy. But if you say, well, Krishna is very naughty and Krishna is blue, this is direct. This is not pleasing to the Lord. So in the same way, if you approach the devotees, this indirect way is much more powerful. There's nowhere stated in any shastra, by touching the feet of a sadhu, you get prema. Nowhere stated. All it says anywhere, By touching the feet of a sadhu, as Prabhupada told us, you give your sinful reactions to him. That's all. But here it's telling, by having this indirect connection, you get the best result, isn't it? What result do you get? What's the indirect connection? What is the indirect connection? The dust, the water, the food remnants. And what is this indirect connection with the lips or feet of the top or the bottom, right? The lips, the mouth is the lips, that's the top, the feet are the bottom. From head to toe, right? From head to toe, you connect yourself from head to toe with the Gaudiya Vaishnava indirectly, and what do you get? Mahabal, greatest power, not just to take away a few sins, that's nothing. But you attain the supreme goal of ecstatic love for Krishna. Krishna Premahai. And where is this told? In all the Shastras. So, therefore, Tate Bara Bara Kai Shuna Bhaktagan Vishwas Kariyakara Etina Sevan. Therefore, my dear devotees, Bhaktagan, all of you, Bhaktagan, Shuna, hear from me. For I insist, Bara Bara, please keep faith in these three and render service to them without hesitation. Vishwas Kariyakara, Etina Sevan. Etina Teen Seva. Serve these three with Vishwas. Kariya Vishwas. Keeping the faith. Keep the faith, man. Keep the faith, man. Hey, keep the faith. So, keep faith in these and take advantage of these. Sometimes people really go wild with these principles. I remember once in 1995, I told this also because there's too much impression on my chitta. We were going on a yatra to Jayapur, as we've done so many times with so many groups of students. Alumni from 95, the alumni from 2000. You know, it's like a college. Teacher has so many students every year. They do that same classroom and same teachings with different students. So this is another Jayapur yatra. I've gone so many yatras at Jayapur, so many to Puri, so many to Nathpur. So there's another group of students. It's 1995. And we're going, driving in some sumo or whatever. I was in the middle seat and someone was in the back seat. One lady was back there. And we took some prasad in the car. And then I rolled down the window and I was washing my mouth, right? So I was, you know, going, you know, trying to spit out the water, you know, and the car was moving. So I tried to spit so it would go out. So this lady was in the back, so she opened the window, and this back window opens like this or something. She had a cup or something. She put a cup out like this. And she caught when I, you know what, like this. And she went, and there were all these, there was other ladies in the back, and they were all laughing and like this. I looked at, and they were all passing this cup. I said, what the hell are you doing, you know? And then I kind of said, did you, well, I just spit out the window. Did you catch that or something? And they said, yeah. I said, oh my God, this is, what are you doing? You're crazy, you know? So this is really going pretty far with the Bhakti Uchishta. I mean, this is the Uchishta of the Uchishta or whatever. It's like washing the mouth. I guess there was some Uchishta there, some minor pieces here and there. And that was really, really had some special ecstatic symptoms there. I'd do that. I was like, wow. And so then every time I would try, I would say, hey, close that window. You know, and sometimes they stop the car, pull over, and I would go outside and wash it, because these people were too much crazy, though. And they weren't Indians, they were Europeans. I wish I had such enthusiasm. I mean, that was really good. Text 63. Tina Haite Krishna Nam Premer Ulas Krishna Prasada Tate Sakshi Kalidas. From these three, one achieves the highest goal of life, ecstatic love of Krishna. This is the greatest mercy of Lord Krishna. The evidence is Kalidas himself. Teen hoite Krishna nam premer ulas. Ulas, now he's saying that this is the ecstatic. Ulas, premer ulas, Krishna nam. the Sakshi, Krishna Prasada Tate Sakshi Kali, the witness, the example, the witness, the evidence for this is Kalidas himself. That's what that was his major. His major in the school of bhakti was remnants. He majored in bhakti uchishta. He isn't known for chanting lots and lots of rounds, which of course maybe he did, it's not said. He isn't known for studying the shastra and giving Bhagavad Pat, which he maybe also did. Can't say. But what he is, in the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he's described for a long description about how he went here and there and made all kinds of arrangements by donating mangoes and giving, oh, please, my dear devotees, please eat these mangoes. And then, okay, we'll take them. Why don't you take them now? No, we're not hungry now. Okay. Then Kalidas goes outside and waits in the bushes. Those are really good mangoes. And I'm sure they won't wait too long before they offer them up and eat them. So he waited 1 hour, 2 hours. He was determined, I'm going to wait here until I get those mango skins. So then they offered the mangoes to Thakur, their guard Thakur. And then the Jadu Thakur, this person's name was Jadu Thakur. And Jadu Thakur and his wife, they took this prasad, Mahaprasad. Then their servant carried the leaf plate out and then threw it in the bushes where they throw the leaf plates. And Kalidas, now is my chance. And in the dead of night, before any dogs could come or anyone else could come, in the prasad garbage pile, because dogs also go there, he ran over there to the garbage pile and grabbed that leaf. Nectar! This is the nectar I've been waiting for. And he licked the plate. Licked it dry. Again, it became a dry leaf plate. Sukhapatra. Then he chucked it. And then he took the pits. No, then he took the skin, the mango skins. He squeezed it, licked it, bit it, got all the juice out of it. Then finally, what do they call it? Piece de resistance. Piece de resistance. You know, the best part he saved to last. The bijam, the seed. Then he took the seed and bit on that and nibble off every little bit of scrap and string and scrap he could find, and then squeeze it and then bite it with his molar teeth and right and left and get any kind of juice out of it and swirl it around his mouth and flip it up and down a few times. And finally, he would spit it out when it was totally dry. There was nothing but a piece of stick left. Even the monkeys wouldn't even eat it. Because monkeys come and they open the mango seed. They open the mango pit and they eat the seed inside. The seed inside the mango is actually a seed coat. What's inside the mango is what you call the seed, but inside that is the nut. It's a mango nut, which makes good toothpaste, by the way. If you guys are onto your natural stuff. You take the mangoes, but I couldn't do it at Gopal Mandir, because I would throw out the mango seeds, the monkeys would rip open that outside. It's really hard, but their teeth are like, you know, razors. They rip open that mango thing and eat that. It's like a big almond. You dry it in the sun till it becomes dry, there's no monkeys around, then you powder it, and it's very good tooth dentifrice. Very, very good, because it's astringent. It's naturally astringent. If you make some for me too. So, this is the greatest mercy of Krishna. Krishna Prasad. And somehow it says, Tina Hoite Krishna Nam Premer Ulas Krishna Prasada Tate Sakshi Kali Das. So the last line is clear. Krishna Prasad Tate, that the, in that regard, Tate, the evidence of this whole thing is Kalidas. He got the mercy of Krishna. But this first line, I have to take a closer look. Because in a word for word, Prabhupada's giving us all the elements here to put together. Tina hoite, from these three, Krishna nam prema ulas. But Prabhupada's translation is this. From these three, duli, jal, and uchishta, one achieves the highest goal of life, ecstatic love for Krishna. But there's nothing about Krishna Nam. So prema ulas is prema, then ulas means ecstasy. Rising up like ulas, you know, like, it's ulas. So prema ulas. Now that's clear. But we don't find the Krishna Nam anywhere. You see, you don't see. So if we Because Prabhupada was translated his book in a few months. I think 7,000 verses or something. He translated in a few months, and then he wanted it printed in 2 months. I was there when this marathon was going on, printing marathon, 75. So it appears that if we look from the word for word, using Prabhupada's word for word, we can give this also a translation. From these three, the holy name comes, Krishna Nam comes, and ecstatic love. Tina hoite Krishna Nam premer ulas. So that means by taking the remnants of pure Vaishnavas, because they're chanting Shudanam, so that Shudanam is in their Ochishta, that Shudanam is in their Duli, that Shudanam is in their Jal. Because whatever they are, that's what that is. Tadinam Samarchanam. The Lord is worshipful, and Tadinam, the things that are connected with the Lord, are also Samarchan. They're also equally worshipful. Samarchan, equally worshipable. Archan means worship, puja. Tadinam Samarchanam. So therefore, Vishnu Radhanam Sarveshnam Tadinam Samarchanam. Lord Shiva is telling Parvati, Vishnu Radhanam Sarvesham. He said, of all the worships, Vishnu Radhanam is the best. Vishnu Radhanam Sarvesham, Tadiyanam Samarchanam. And not only that, but things related to Vishnu are also worshipable, equally worshipable. What's related to Vishnu? Vishnu's holy abode, Vishnu's holy name, Vishnu's devotees, Vishnu's cloth, Vishnu's chatter. King Prataparuja received a chatter from Lord Chaitanya because he was denied his sangha. He was denied darshan initially. He was denied darshan. Later he was embraced by Lord Chaitanya when he recited Gopi Geet during the Rath Yatra. In Jagannath Vallabha Garden, Lord Chaitanya went to take rest, and he disguised himself as an ordinary person, Vaishnava. He gave up all his Rajvesh, and King Prataparuja went there and dressed as an ordinary Vaishnava in simple Vesh, Chaturan Dodi. And then he sat there next to Lord Chaitanya, rubbing his feet when he was in ecstasy. He started reciting, Tavakatam Ritam Tapta Jivanam. And then Lord Chaitanya, in his ecstatic trance, he sat up, ah! And he embraced this gopi. He thought it was a gopi, reciting Gopi Geet, but it's King Prataparudra. So that way he gave not only his darshan, but his loving embrace. But before that, Prataparudra was very anxious and desirous to have the darshan of Lord Chaitanya, but he said no. King means woman and money. King means woman and money, and these are enemies for sannyasi. So I will not go to see a king because he represents woman and money. This is Maya. So I will not grant my darshan to the king, Prataparudra. So he was very insistent and very, because he was a great devotee and lover of Lord Chaitanya. And finally Lord Chaitanya took his chatter, his yellow chatter, his Pitambara chatter, and said, okay, send this to him. So he gave the chatter to King Prataparudra, and then King Prataparudra worshipped that chatter, Tadinam Samarchanam, because it's connected. It's equally worshipable. It's transcendental chatter. It's the Lord's Vesh, Prasadi Vesh. Prasadi Vesh Mahaprabhu. So then he worshipped that chatter, just like Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya appreciated that, and he became purified. Like he worshipped the shoes of the Guru, chapels, or the anything of the Guru we can worship. The Gadi. Gadi or Gadi? Gadi. Gadi? Gadi? Gadi or Gadi? Anyway, we worship the seat of the Guru. Guru Gadi?
Gaddi.
Gaddi. Gaddi. G-A? Gaddi. Guru, Guru Gadi Kapuja. Something like that. Worship the seat of the Guru. Like Granta Puja? Granta Puja, we worship the Shastra. So this is a very special thing. Well, Kalidas, it's just saying Kalidas, he was Kalidas, he was a servant of Kali. His name is Kalidas. It's not told whether he was initiated or not. So, I'm trying to answer your question. It's not telling whether Kalidas is initiated or not. It's just saying that he was there. Of course, he was living during Lord Chaitanya's time. And he went to all the Vaishnavas and took the remnants. So if we take it, that Kalidas was not initiated, and he was just named Kalidas, and he was not initiated, then he was not initiated, and he was taking the water and the remnants and Shishta from all the Vaishnavas in Bengal. So then you can do. if you're not initiated, if that's your question. If you are initiated, you can also do. So whether you're initiated or not initiated, you can do. But sometimes you may go to Jagannath Puri, and someone might say, oh, you're not initiated, you can't have Maharaj's remnants. Sometimes I've heard they say like that. Is it right? You heard like that? So that's like some guru or shishya ego, shishya hankar. There's also a spiritual hankar. He's my guru. Hands off.
But it should be like that, or it shouldn't be?
Somewhere it should be like that, and somewhere it should not be like that. If you're not initiated, you can't touch the feet. As we've been discussing. It is like that. It should be like that. It is like that. As far as the other thing, it's big bar or steel, whatever you can get. So many times I got Prabhupada's remnants and I wasn't initiated. I mean, they used to send Shruti Kirti when he was traveling with Prabhupada because he was from L.A. Temple. His wife was there or somebody was there. He used to send by Fed Express or something or whatever it was in those days. He used to send these jars. A lot of times it was coffee jars. I don't know what he's doing with them. Anyway, he had these jars. It said Nescafe on them. I remember distinctly. He sent these jars, glass jars, of Prabhupada's remnants from Hawaii or from Europe or wherever to L.A. And they would always come to the Sankirtan office because the Sankirtan leader had a way of getting these things. And I was a Sankirtan devotee. I wasn't initiated. He would hold it up like it was some like rare gem or something. It was in glass, see-through, right? Glass. And so he would say, whatever my name was, Buck, the so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. He said, look at this. Look at this. This is Prabhupada's remnants. And I went, wow. He would hold up the glass jar like, look. You know? And inside that jar, there would be Black Mission figs, if you know what they are. And there will be samosas, wow, and kachoris, and sandesh. Isn't these wonderful topics? It seems at least one out of every three ekadasis, I get into these huge, extended 6-hour prasadam wraps. I don't know if it's because I'm surrounded by Punjabis and there's so much into eating or what. Because I've done so many codices in America and I never talked about prasad until I came to India. I came to India, it's like, you can't help but, you know, live prasad, talk prasad, dream prasad. I think it's great. It's like you do in Chaturmasya, the most fun thing to do is you give up sweets, for example. Give up all sugar and any kind of sweets. And every day you try to offer as many sweets as you can to Giriraj, to Giridhari. You know, you buy them and people cook them. I remember when I was in this one ashram, there was like 12 rooms in the ashram. I was staying in one place. And every room in that ashram was my students. They were disciples or whoever, but they were all my students. Except the owner of the ashram was my godbrother, Indian guy. So there are many ladies there, grihasthas, single, whatever, and they're all cooks for some reason or other. And they're always cooking all kinds of things, peanut brittle and this and that and sugar-coated cashews and they look like they were glazed with plastic or something. It was such good job, you know, clear sugar that looked like plastic glaze. I don't know how they did it. It was fantastic. So we would offer all these sweets during Chaturmasya when we were fasting from sweets, all kinds of sweets, brownies and cakes and cupcakes and sandesh and burfi and sweet samosas and halava, you name it. and then we would go out and distribute them out on the streets, the workers and rickshawalas, anybody, everywhere. And I was so much fun, and during that time I was surrounded by sweets. I was smelling sweets and offering sweets day after day for 4 months, and I was fasting, not eating any sweets at all. And I felt so blissful. I was like, sweets, you can't do anything to me. You know? I have my son Kapha, but I will distribute you. And so, you actually, when you get into distributing these things, just like we're talking about them, but we don't really feel it to eat all these things. I think so. So it's like this. yeah, so there it was, the glass jar, floating in space. And I'm staring at it, seeing the black mission figs, the sweet samosas, the kachoris, the sandesh. And then he said, "Do you want some? This is Prabhupada's remnants." I said, "Yes." So then he opened it up and he poured it out on the sankirtan in his office table on some paper. And I looked and I said, I was trying to find which one has the most mercy. I saw the black mission fig. It's like a fig, type of fig, black color. And it was half, had teeth marks in it. Teeth marks in it and a bite impression, like upper molars. Impression of the upper molars. So I said, "This is the one. This is." And I said, "I want this one." And he said, "Okay, take it." Wow. Prabhupada teacher. So he said, "What about the samosa? You want that?" And I said, "Oh, there's no bite mark out of that. Maybe he didn't take it." He said, "Okay, I'll take that. I like samosa." So the Sangratan leader took the samosa. And then there was pakora, I think. Maybe pakora was there. And that had a bite mark out of it. I said, "What about this? This also has a bite mark out of it." He said, "Yeah, but it may be Shruti Kirtis." He was funny, the Sankirtan leader. I said, "No, he wouldn't leave. He would eat the whole thing. He's not about to leave any remnants." So I had that also several times like this. From Street Armaraj also, I had remnants. So this is a great fortune to get. And of course, at that time, I was not initiated. So you're asking whether... So if it's given to you or you can get it, of course there's some opposition and that makes it all the more challenging. If someone says, no, I say, okay, no problem, no. You know, "Oh, look over there." You know, you have to be clever, you know. If someone is trying to deny you something, you have to be clever to get what you want, you know. "Oh, look, there's something over there, you know, Gurudev's calling you. Oh, do you hear Gurudev's calling you? Quick. Then he runs out, then you snatch that Mahaprasad. Because he's only trying to keep you from eating that Mahaprasad, only to do one thing, to make sure he can eat it all. So I don't know, I never read anywhere laws about that, and only initiated people can take Guru's remnants. I never read. But, you know, then you can understand if someone's guarding it, that they have some vested interest. "Oh no, this is not for you. It's not for you." Because there's so many injunctions. One injunction is sannyasi should not leave any remnants. So it's like catch 22, right? So sannyasi should eat everything on his plate and there's nothing. But then the shishya should get some Mahamahaprasad. There's something here called Mahamahaprasadam, the remnants of a devotee. But the devotee eats everything on his plate. Then there's no such thing as Mahamahaprasadam. So why is it written in the book? It says Mahaprasadam, right here, verse 59, chapter 16, Anti Leela. This is Anti Leela, chapter 16, verses 55, 56, 57 through 63. All these verses about that. It's like this. I mean, it's also in a book called Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada Saraswati. It's in a biography book. So you may have read it there. But I have also told it, and you probably heard it. What he did is he had his servant, his personal servant. So he said, "Listen, Krishnadas, I want you to, you take my remnants," because he also left remnants. You take my plate and you distribute it to all the brahmacharis in the temple. You know, he's living in a temple with all the brahmacharis. And then come back and give me the report. I want you to tell me which brahmachari is taking which thing on a daily basis. Because every day he's leaving remnants. So he said, "Guruji, every day so-and-so, Chaitanya Das, he's always mad after the glove jamans. And, Radhanath Das, he's always after the pakoras." "But there's one devotee, Giridhari Das. He's always taking the drumsticks." "Drumsticks?" Drumsticks is like this sabji. It grows on a tree. Has some little pulp inside and you boil it with some this and that. And then the Guruji will bite it and suck on it and it's just a piece of stick left. There's no taste, no juice, no pulp, no anything. It's just like worthless thing. And then he's saying, "Oh, who's taking that?" He said, "Almost every day, everything else is taken. That's all that's left is the drumsticks, because it's like, you know, who wants that? But this Giridhari does. He always takes that. Acha. Okay, you call him here. I want to see him. Oh, no, then he said, actually, he is the only one that's getting my mercy. He's actually getting the Guru Kripa. Because he is honoring my remnants, all the other ones are just enjoying their senses. Oh, this looks good. Oh, I want the cake. Oh, I want the Gulabjamun. In other words, I want the cake, I want the Gulabjamun means I want to enjoy the cake. Guru cake or Guru Gulabjamun, whatever it is, I want the cake. I want the Gulabjamun. I want the sweet rice. Because I used to do puja work, puja and sankirtan. In the morning I dress, bathe and dress deities, and I go out in sankirtan after breakfast. Now, and sometimes evening I put in the rest. So, and then I would clear the, what they call clear the mahaprasad, and put in these little plastic trays I used to have. Then I would take it out, and then the devotees, then I would just leave it there in the prasadam hall, and then pick it up later. And almost invariably, all the time, when I would go to pick up the tray, the only thing that was left was rice. The rice would be in the tray, and maybe dal, but samosas, puris, sabjis, sweets, oh, they're all gone. All that would be left was the rice and dal, or just rice. Maybe they would take the dal and the puris, but always rice. Rice, plain rice, or even pushpan rice. No one will want the rice. So I ate a lot of rice. Because you can't throw it, you know. So I was just, okay, this is for me. I ate other things also. In addition to those things, I ate the rice also. Because I had to bring in a tray and clear it and wash it, so I deposited the maha rice in the proper place. Plenty of fresh air. No shortage. Too much fresh air. And cool coming from the east. A wind can come from the west, from the desert of Rajasthan, and bring a lu inside of you and make you cuckoo. Because if a loo goes in your ear, you go cuckoo. Hot breeze from the desert. I know this is the eastern winds from the Bay of Bengal, which brings the monsoon. The monsoon comes from the east every year. Mid-July. So this is the prelude to the monsoons. Cool breeze. This is really coming from the Anchala. Anchala, Sari Anchala, from the edge of Radharani Sari.
Purvarad.
I was just thinking Radharad Sudhani. It's talked about the breeze blows from the edge of Radharani Sari. When Krishna smells the breeze, he drops his peacock feather and his turban and his flute drops. You're in the class that you heard, though. Then he drops, first he drops his peacock feather, then his turban, then his flute, and finally his dhoti falls off. And then he falls off. He faints on the ground. He falls on the ground, pralaya. This is described in Radharas Sudaniti by Prabhupada Saraswati. And how does that happen? It happens by smelling the fragrance of the breeze blowing from the edge of Radharani Sari, Anchale. Sari Anchale. So when this breeze is coming from the edge of Radharani Sari. Because this is Radha Kund. This place is called Ananga Rangada Kunj. Ananga Rangada Kunj. That Kunj which gives Ananga Rangada the playful sports of Ananga, Cupid. This is the name of this Kunj. Ananga Rangada Kunj. Because this is one Kunj, but this entire area is called Ananga Manjari's Kunj. On the side of Shyamakund. Of course, in the middle of Radhakund is her Kunj also, Ananga Manjari Kunj. So all of you are in Ananga Rangada Kunj. But no submission?
No permission.
No permission. Permission means Guru Agya. And no permission?
No
pravesh. Samarpan, Agya, pravesh. It's like this. No Samarpan, no Guru Agya. No Guru Agya, no Kunja Pravesh, Lila Pravesh. This is a system.